Welcome back to the Northeast Newscast. This episode was made possible by Shemeika's online market in Delhi. This week, I'm joined by Sean Kiefer, the Republican director of the Kansas City Election Board. We discuss what exactly the Kansas City Election Board does, what not to forget when absentee voting, how COVID-19 has changed Missouri's voting requirements, and common misconceptions surrounding this year's presidential election. Thanks for joining me, Sean. What does the Kansas City Election Board do? You know, I mean, I know that's a big question, but you can start with what you do during election season generally, and then what do you do the rest of the year, you know?
So my favorite question that I get from people is people thinking that I have a part-time job. They think that I come in 2 or 3 days before an election day and just everything's all put together and all I got to do is run the elections. And that's so funny to me because I rarely get to take my vacations because we just have one election after another. It actually takes 6 weeks, or it takes 10 weeks to actually put an election together, believe it or not. We have 230,000 registered voters at the current time. We are still processing voter registrations as we speak. We could be close to 235 when it's all said and done. Then when we get the ballots, we actually get the certifications at the 10-week mark from all the different entities that want to have an election. And then we make up our poll log, which tells where we're going to send the people to vote, and then we make up our ballot, too. Because everybody's ballot could be different depending on where you live. For example, this election, we have 105 different ballots. They have different races. You might have a different state rep race, different state senator, whatever. So we make up our ballots, we do our polling places, then we talk to our poll workers, or we actually recruit our poll workers, which for this election we're going to need about 1,200 people to work election day to make it successful.
And is that more than normal?
A little bit more. We might be closer to 1,000 or less if it were just a regular jurisdiction-wide election, but this being a presidential, it'll be probably at least 1,200 people. So we recruit, we talk to the judges that have worked for us in the past, we bring them all in, we train every single judge for every election, so we'll train them on what's new, maybe things that we think they need to improve on, whatever we decide we want to train. We train every single one of them, which is quite a large task. We generally bring them in 30 at a time. And to train over 1,000 people or 1,200 people for this election takes a very long time. So once we train them and we have our polls set up, and we have our ballots done, then the big thing is election day. And before we get to election day, we got to make sure all our registrations are in. We have absentee voting we have to put in. Not only absentee voting for the people who actually live in Kansas City who might send in the request by paper, we also have in-person absentee that we have actually going on right now, where we have voted in the last 12 days over 9,000 people. So we've been very busy. 9,100 people was the total absentee for the primary election, and in 12 days we've already exceeded that from in-person alone, not counting all the absentee ballots that have been mailed into us.
That's quite a lot. It seems like you know, what are some of the factors that affect that? Is it COVID? Is it that people feel this election is more important?
Yeah, I think they're very hypersensitive on this election, and they want to make sure the vote gets counted. They're very worried for various reasons, and it's causing a huge influx of people applying for absentee ballots. State also, they've sort of loosened their rules, and they're allowing mail-in ballots. They're allowing people to vote who either have COVID or have health conditions that maybe they'd be considered an at-risk type person, and if you're over 65. So you've had a lot of people take advantage of that. Where this election, same election 4 years ago, had 17,000 people roughly who voted absentee. We expect over 50,000 people to vote absentee this election.
Wow. And so what's the difference between mailing in an absentee ballot and having a mail-in ballot?
Okay. Well, I'm going to sort of go from a different angle. We have two different kinds of ballots that people can request. They can request an absentee ballot, which they have to have one of seven different excuses to vote absentee. Could be they're going to be out of town, like we mentioned, could be they had COVID or a health condition that they'd be at risk. over 65. It could be religious preference. It could be incarceration. It could be, like I said, they're going out of town, whatever. There's a lot of different reasons that they could vote. Depending on what they check will depend if they need to have the ballot notarized. If one of the reasons is if they're incapacitated or they're caring for somebody who is, and if they're over 65 or have those illnesses, then they don't have to have their ballot notarized. They can just send it on in, and their ballot will be counted. They don't have to go through the headache and hassle to get notarized. Everybody else does. And that's on the absentee side of absentee voting. Then we have mail-in voting, which is something that the state of Missouri is only allowing for the primary and general election. And once January 1st gets here, all those laws, they go away at that point. So for those two elections, anybody in the state of Missouri can request a mail-in ballot. Anybody. The one bad part about it is if you request a mail-in ballot, one, it has to be notarized. Two, it has to be mailed back through the post office, U.S. Post Office. You cannot drop it off the Kansas City Election Board and say, hey, here's my mail-in ballot. No, a mail-in ballot's supposed to be mailed in. We request that everybody mail it in early, let the post office do their job, let us do our job on getting it out to them, getting it back early so we have plenty of time to get it processed for Election Day.
Sure. Is there any way to track your vote? You know, if you mail in your ballot and a couple weeks go by and you're like, oh, shoot, I don't know if it got there. Mm. You know, can you call in? Can you get a receipt when you mail it? Something like that?
Right now, we are working on that exact process. We heard that they do it in St. Louis, and we're trying to emulate them and trying to have something on our website where they go and find out if their ballot was received by us and if it were counted. Like I said, we're hoping we'll have it in by Election Day. We are working on it. It's something we've never done in the past. They can call down here too if they want. And we are getting a ton of calls. And for every call that we get, it delays us on getting other absentees out. But we'll just, one, have patience, give us, you know, some time, and call us, and we'll track down your ballot for you.
Sure. I think that's a really great system to have in place. I know it's a lot of extra work for you all, but for example, I just got my new driver's license because I just moved back to the state, and I filled out a voter registration form there, and they took it for me, and I called to double check that I was registered before the deadline, and I wasn't. There was an error, and I never would have known if I didn't call. So I'm good to go now.
Good.
But, you know, it's all the helpful people that work here. And how many employees do you have working here?
Well, right now I have 26 staff members. However, with all the temps right now, I have closer to 100 people actually working here.
Okay. Is that pretty typical for a general election year?
It's probably about 25% more than we normally have. I generally expect about 75 people at this point. But just how busy we are with absentees, we've had to bump up the number of temps needed.
Sure. So what are some of the common misconceptions about, you know, the election process or going to cast your vote?
Let's say the misconceptions. I think people are very hypersensitive about their ballots. They think that there's a great conspiracy that we're going to keep certain people from voting, whatever party you may be. They think the opposite party is going to try to do something with their ballot. It's not going to be cast, and that's far from true. Even though we're made up of a bipartisan team of workers down here, both Republican and Democrat, all we care about is that we get your ballot and it's counted no matter how you cast your ballot. There are no conspiracies whatsoever down here.
That's good to hear. It's good. It's reassuring to hear, I would say. So those who don't vote often or maybe haven't voted before, they may sometimes feel like their voice isn't being heard and their vote doesn't make a difference. You know, the Kansas City Election Board deals with local elections as well. Do you agree with that? Do you think, you know, every vote counts?
I think every vote counts, especially in local elections. I think these are people who directly impact you the most. Of course, local questions and candidates are very important. It affects your pocketbook and affects exactly you know, how your voice is heard, either at the state, city, or federal levels. I think it's very important that people exercise the right to vote.
Do you have any examples that you could maybe give about close races locally that, you know, were down to one or two votes?
Yeah, when I first started here about 12 years ago, one of my very first elections, we had a race that ended in one vote difference. And boy, I'll tell you, that was some stressful stuff. We had recounts and we had lawyers involved, and it was just complete chaos, because everybody's looking for that one or two votes that can flip that race. And the one good thing is, if you know, that we, once the recounts were over, our number stood.
That's good. That's crazy. I can't imagine the level of stress, you know, something that makes such a big impact on the next couple years. Mm-hmm. But you all are professionals, you know what you're doing, but I can't imagine, you know, that level of stress. So what does the Kansas City Election Board do when it's not election season?
That's a good question. One, I was telling you earlier, it takes 10 weeks to put on an election. So you got basically 2.5-3 month period, you know, prior to every election, and there's generally four elections a year. So that takes the majority of the year, 3 months, or, you know, times four elections. However, what the big thing we do is we constantly keep our voter registration database up to date. We canvass our mail. We also do petitions. Every time you go to the grocery store, you have somebody stand outside asking you to sign the petition. We're the ones that check them. So we go through every single signature and we match it up to our database, make sure the signatures are right and the people say they live where they live, and we count all those. And between those two tasks, that keeps us busy.
Sure. So what's the difference? I know you said you're headed to the Jackson County Election Board later today. What's the difference between the two, and why does Kansas City have its own?
That's a good question, and it goes back to a lot of politics that were played probably back in the 1920s, over 100 years ago. And I think back then, people wanted their separate voice out in Jackson County, and I think they wanted to break away from Kansas City and completely set up their own government. And then you have the Jackson County Legislature, and of course you have the City Council. And they just, I think they wanted their own voice. That's from what I understand, like I said, it was over 100 years ago.
Is that pretty typical? Do a lot of large cities have their own election board?
You know, it's funny, St. Louis does the same thing. They have a St. Louis County and a St. Louis City election board. And they're very similar to us. We're the only two that I know of, and I know in the state, but I think we're the, probably one of the few in the nation that have it set up that way.
Sure. So if people want to vote absentee and they're already registered to vote, you know, because the deadline's already passed, do they have to apply, or do they just walk in and say, I want to vote today?
They can do either. They can go ahead and they could show up at our union station. We have a place in the innovation room where we've been voting around 1,000 people a day. And they come in, they have to give an excuse, like we talked about the seven excuses earlier. And once they give their excuse, they'll be checked in on an iPad. They will sign the iPad, and they'll be given a ballot, and they will be able to probably get in and out in 10 minutes.
Sure. And do you know how many voting locations you'll have set up across the city this year?
Yeah, I think right now we have 76 that we currently have. And what we've done is we've tried to do three per ward. We have 25 wards in Kansas City, and we're trying to do three per ward to make it very convenient. Like we mentioned earlier, we're looking for bigger polling places such as gyms, community centers, large rooms, and it's sort of hard to find a lot of these, but we need to make sure there's proper social distancing. There might be a particular ward that might have four because maybe they have a larger population and maybe the rooms are not as big as we had hoped. And you have some that, you know, we anticipate a much smaller turnout, and they maybe only have two, but it's roughly three per ward.
Sure. I heard during one of the Kansas City Public Schools board meetings a couple weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago at this point, that if school wasn't back in session, they would open up their schools for polling locations. Have you all taken advantage of that?
You betcha. I think we have 33 Kansas City, Missouri schools that will be polling places on Election Day.
That's great. And, you know, what are some of the general rules around polling places? Like, I know you can't wear campaign shirts inside. You can't, you know, take a picture of your ballot and share it on social media, things like that.
Yeah, that is very true. Cameras are not allowed into the polling place. As far as your campaign stuff, what happens if you do have particular campaign gear on? We'll ask you that you turn it inside and out. That's called electioneering. You cannot electioneer within 25 foot of the outermost door entering the polling place. So that's what I talked to you earlier about deputy commissioners that we send out, and they enforce those rules. Probably the biggest problem is a lot of those people that work for candidates on election day, and they're outside that 25-foot barrier. They need to use restrooms and stuff during the day like we all would. And actually, our polling places are not set up to actually for them. They're for our voters and for our workers, and not for what we call electioneers to be used. And a lot of times that creates difficulty.
Sure. So. No, especially this year, I think trying to keep everybody separate and moving in one direction rather than mingling would be super important. So what does the election board do in the aftermath of an election? You mentioned recounting ballots if it's close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything else that's big?
Okay, here's the interesting thing is before we send out the ballots, they're all tested. We have roughly, I'm guessing, probably about 600 election machines that go on election day. And each one of those machines goes through a rigorous test where we run ballots through. We look at results, making sure that everybody who should have got a vote should have got a vote, and vice versa. And so they're tested when they go out. Then when they come back, they are tested again to make sure they operate like they should have operated. And so there's a lot of testing of the equipment. We also do random manual tests. We'll pick out 5% of the polling places on election day, and we will hand count all those ballots and make sure our totals come up to what they said they were. And so we do the testing, and then 2 weeks after the election, we have to certify. So we'll bring in our board, we'll have everything done and say, these are the accurate totals for this particular election, and they have to certify those. Then we send them off to the various entities who are on the ballot, and then that's how they determine, officially. Even though on election night, you have unofficial totals, that will be the official total that a particular person will be elected from, or a particular issue will be passed or fail from.
Sure. And I forget, in Kansas City, do we vote using paper ballots or electronic?
We actually vote on paper ballots. There's two kinds of paper ballots like we talked about. We have the 8.5 by 14 inch ballot, the full ballot. Then we have a much smaller ballot that we fit in the ballot marking devices, which just records what you vote. So it doesn't record every single person that's on the ballot, but just who you have selected. And then once you have voted and you press cast, that'll print out. You'll look at it. You'll make sure that that's who you wanted to vote for. If not, you can go spoil your ballot, bring it back to the machine, vote again. If it's how you want it, you go over to that DS200 machine, the big black machine, you feed it in, and that's what casts your ballot. One thing also going to note is once you cast your ballot, there's no way to retrieve that ballot. You're done voting. I've got people that would come back and say, well, so-and-so wasn't on my ballot, and I want to vote for so-and-so. Well, first question I ask them is, did you cast your ballot? Oh, yeah, I ran it through, but I really want to vote for so-and-so. Well, it's too late. There's no way we can go in and identify which one's your ballot. So once it's fed through, your voting is done.
Do you think the paper ballot system is more reliable than electronic?
I have seen both. We had an electronic system prior to, and they're both equally reliable. And we do tests on all the machines. But in the public perception is they think paper is the way they want to see it. They want to make sure that we could always go back and match a paper ballot to a vote total and so forth. So it gives the public, it makes them feel like the system's more credible. And if that's how they feel, we're happy to do it that way.
Sure. It's time to take a break to thank our sponsor, Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi, offering catering and nationwide shipping at shemeikasonline.com. Find their new deli at 16th and Swift in North Kansas City. Shemeika's, where customers become friends and friends become family. And now back to the newscast. So how long have you been in this role, and how many presidential elections have you seen?
No, mom. I've been the Kansas City Election Board for over 33 years. First 20 years was the finance manager, where I dealt with all the finances. And then for the last 13 years, I've been the director. So I've been through at least 8 presidential elections. It's a lot.
And how do you think, you know, social media has changed
Oh, man.
Presidential elections?
It's changed it dramatically. Back in the day, I mean, everything was done on actually those little Hollerith cards, those punch cards. Back when I think in 2000, we had all the issues down in Florida, and they had the butterfly ballot and the Chads. We had that same system here. And the funny thing about it is the Hollerith cards had like 390 little squares that people could punch out, but the machine also has to read all 392 squares to see if you punched it out. Well, they're barely put in place, and every time we'd run those ballots through that reader, more and more of those Chads would fall out, and it would change the vote every time. So, you know, you might get one result here, then you have to have a recount, get another result here, and if you run it again for testing or whatever, you have another. You just constantly, our results were constantly changing. It was
That's
nuts.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that happening today, you know.
Yeah.
And there's just so much, I feel like, more information out there and also disinformation. Yeah. You know, what are some recommendations you have for people who are confused about the voting process in Kansas City?
One, where it's very trustworthy, and they have enough systems and double checks and checks in place that the state has made sure that really nothing could go too awry. I mean, from the tabulation room to the people that actually check you in on election day, it's all bipartisan. It's a big check and balance system. So you always have one party watching the other party. But it's really, over the past, I'd say, 30 years, there's been very little politics, at least from what I've seen. Everybody at the election board, even at the polls, they just want to do their job and do it right. Nobody's really trying to do anything other than that.
Sure. And, you know, are there voter education resources on your website? Do you teach classes? Do you give talks?
I do a bunch of interviews about it. We do have educational information online. We do have these classes that are called Election 101 that people can request. And we just take them through the entire process, you know, from start to finish, and just give them a great little background history on it. We've not done many this year, but once next year, once there's more free time, we'll probably get back into doing these classes again.
Sure. I feel like that's a great idea because, you know, if you're paying attention in high school government, you might know what's going on, but otherwise.
Not too many people pay attention in my class, at least when I went through it. But.
Sure. That's great. So we talked a little bit about, you know, whether or not you need to get your ballot notarized if you're mailing it in, if it's an absentee or, you know, whatever. What are some other things they shouldn't forget? You know, putting a stamp on it, a signature?
No, there's no stamp. We pay for all the postage. They have to make sure the ballot's in there. They mail it off. Actually, the state of Missouri actually pays for all the postage on absentee ballots that come back. So you don't have to worry about that. The biggest thing is not having the notarization. I'd say probably the majority of the ballots that are rejected on election day did not have proper notarization on it. That's the number one thing. Sometimes there'll be something little like them not signing the ballot, and that's how we know it's them. You know, so on the envelope on the outside, there's a place for them to sign. If they don't sign it, it's not counted because we don't know if it's them that actually voted that ballot.
Sure.
So that's the first thing we check, and we will have some of those. But the number one issue is not having it properly notarized.
So with COVID and everything, the one time I voted mail-in in college, absentee, I guess, I went to my bank to have my ballot notarized. But I know a lot of banks, you know, their lobbies are closed and stuff like that because of COVID. Where are some places that people could find a notary?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have over 200 people on our website that volunteered their notary services. If you go to kceb.org, and you look actually on the very top of our website, there'll be a little window that shows you all the notaries in Kansas City who have offered their free services. I would advise, if you're in that situation, to use one of them. They will be happy to meet with you. You have set an appointment for most of them, and they'll get you taken care of. You can go through your bank. I did check with my bank myself, and they do notarize it. However, it might take, 4 or 5 minutes to actually do that and get that done. And you might upset some people behind you, but they're always happy to help you there too.
Sure. Good to hear. What are some other things COVID has changed for you all? Has it affected your budget in any way? I know you said you're hiring more people this year.
Yeah, it's a constant worry here. Just making sure that everybody has their masks, that they're social distanced, that we have barriers between all our people. If one person gets it, they could take out an entire department or the entire election board. Just one person can really shut us down. So every night, people probably here don't realize it, but we have a little machine. We have several little machines that we put out in different areas to try to kill any viruses that could be out there. We have a little spray gun that sprays a mist of this spray that's supposed to kill it. And we have lights that we put on different places that's supposed to kill stuff. And anyway, just one person, and you don't know what the reason may be. Maybe they don't know they have COVID. Maybe they need the money and they need to work and they're going to fight through it and not tell us. You just don't know what the reasoning is. We do have, if they're touching ballots, we're telling them to wear gloves, washing hands, like I said, and trying to sit them or divide them up with barriers and sit them far apart. If somebody's walking around the office, we ask them to have their mask on. If they're at their desk, then that's up to them as long as they're blocked off from other people. It's a completely different life down here.
That's just another level of things to worry about, and on top of the general stress that you already have,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yes.
So where can people find a sample ballot specific to them?
They could go to our website, kceb.org. I know I've already said that. And on the front page, in the upper left-hand corner, there's a little box that says check your status. And you go in there, you type your last name and your birth date right below it, and it'll not only tell you where you go vote on election day, but it'll bring you up a sample ballot. It'll bring you up your exact ballot that you'll be voting on. What we do is we encourage people to go ahead and print that out, fill it out, make your decisions ahead of time. So when you go into the poll, all you're doing is just moving the marks from your sample ballot onto your real ballot. You get in and out as quick as possible, and that's what we're hoping people do.
Good. And if people have trouble, reading small print or have other issues that might impede them from voting, can they bring somebody along to help them?
There could be a one-time person. If it's a relative, they could actually help anybody who they're related to. But if it's just a friend, they could help one person and one person only. We do have machines that we can actually increase the size of the print on. So I would probably direct them to the ballot marking devices, and we would try to have those adjusted so they could see it and vote on themselves. But, they can bring that person if they like.
Sure. It sounds like you're trying to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, trying to.
Hopefully. Is there anything else you want to add about, the voting process or what you all do here?
Trying to see. We talked about mail-in ballots. That was probably the big thing, because there's a lot of misunderstanding on they have to be mailed in. A lot of people, they get confused, and they want to bring it down to us because they know it's late in the game. They procrastinated to get that notary, and then they try to bring it down to us, and we cannot take it. We ask for people's patience. That's the big thing. We're working as hard and as fast as we possibly can, and allow for patience, not only for us down at the election board, but when they go to the polls. Everybody's just trying to help them. There's nobody that's working against them. We're all trying to get them to vote and to have some patience.
Sure.
Very good. You're my second interview today. it's funny. Generally, I do, for an election like this, maybe 20 interviews throughout the election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I've already done closer to 30, and we still got 4 weeks left, roughly. So I'll do a lot of interviews this time. Sort of fun,
I was going to ask, what form of ID do people need to bring to the polls?
But they could bring anything that identifies them. It could be a utility bill, it could be a bank statement, it could be voter ID card, it could be a driver's license, a Missouri ID card, a military card, it can be a student ID. It doesn't necessarily have to have their correct address on it. All it's doing is identifying them and who they are. It's not identifying their address. Now, of course, as a utility bill, you can bring your neighbor. You have to have an exact address on that.
Sure.
But everything else, photo IDs are not necessary. It makes the job easier, though. If you bring a driver's license or something that has a barcode that we could scan, we get you through the system very quickly. But you don't have to have a photo ID to vote in Missouri.
Sure. And if people didn't get, you know, the little postcard that tells them where their voting location is, mm-hmm. where would they find that information?
They could go to check your status on our website. And on there, once they put in their last name and their birth date, it'll bring up their polling information. So it'll tell them exactly where they need to go vote. And that's also where they can view the ballot.
Great.
And I can view it. I can print it out. You know. And then I hopefully would bring it to the polls and transfer the data if I, even though I don't, because I know very early how I'm going to vote, but I could do that if I like.
So how do you vote? Do you vote in person or do you vote ahead of time?
Okay, because see, when I put absentee in over there, I want to make sure it works. So I'm usually the first people to vote. I want to make sure the system's working right. So I go over and vote absentee, which I work for the election board. I can do it. It's part of one of those seven excuses is employment. But I'm one of the first, and it's to check, make sure the stuff's working right.
It's a good system.
Yeah, I hope it is.
So, well, thank you so much for your time. Yeah. We appreciate you informing the people of Northeast. And that was Sean Kiefer, Republican Director of the Kansas City Election Board. Don't forget to visit Shemeika's new location at 16th and Swift in North Kansas City. Thanks for tuning into the Northeast Newscast, and don't forget to vote.